welcome everyone back this evening to our service. This afternoon, our topic is the Ark of the Covenant. We find that in Hebrews 9 and verse 4 and verse 5. For the introduction, I'll be reading verses 1 through verse 10. Hebrews 9, verse 1 through verse 10. It said, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances and divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part of which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went in to the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. So in our lesson this evening, the four things that we want to take a look at. Number one, what was the Ark of the Covenant? Number two, what was the meaning of the Ark? Number three, why did God house himself in the Ark? And what happened to the Ark throughout history? Before we continue, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, I'll tell you, while I was studying this, I really hope I can do this justice. It's amazing in the study of the book of Hebrews how much clearer some of the things in the Old Testament are now than they were before. We begin by looking at what was the Ark of the Covenant. After the second veil in the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, the Ark of the Covenant stood in this place. It was a chest made of acacia wood, covered with pure gold. 2.5 cubits were its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. They say that a cubic is about the length of your arm from your elbow to the tip of your hand. So that's about 18 inches. So it was about 45 inches long. It was about 27 inches wide, and it was about 27 inches high. It says that there were four rings of gold that were placed at the lower four corners, 2 rings on the one side and 2 rings on the other side of it. And staves of acacia wood were made, and they were overlaid with pure gold and placed along the sides so it could be carried without touching the ark itself. We read this in Exodus 25, verse 10 through verse 22. Inside the ark, the Bible says the golden pot that had the manna, Exodus 16 and 33. And there was Aaron's rod that budded, Numbers 17, verse 6 through 11. And the tablets of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments, again, Exodus 25 and verse 16. The manna reminded Israel of God's provision and their ungratefulness. Aaron's rod reminded Israel of their rebellion against God's authority. And the tablets of the covenant reminded Israel of their failure to keep the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law. The mercy seat, this was the decorative lid for the Ark of the Covenant, made with the designs of cherubim upon it. It was made of pure gold. The blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon it for the forgiveness of Israel's sin on the Day of Atonement. Exodus 25, verse 17 through verse 22. It was there that God met with Moses, and he spoke with him from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Covenant, about everything which he would give him in commandment to the children of Israel. As God looked down into the ark, he saw the symbol of Israel's sins, rebellion, and their failure. But when the blood of the sacrifice was applied to the mercy seat, the blood of the sacrifice covered his sight of the sin of Israel. So what was the meaning of the ark? Before Jesus died on the cross, under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in the hearts of the believers. Today, Christians are continuously in the presence of God and can call on Him at any time in prayer. Under the old covenant, that wasn't possible. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. There are several examples that show this. In Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites come to the Jordan River to cross over to the Promised Land. Orders were given to the people in verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you should set out from your place and go after it. In verse 5 it says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The next day the Lord proclaims, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is Joshua 3 and verse 7. In verse 17 it says, then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground amid the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So the Ark of the Covenant was a visible presence of God with the people, which allowed the people to cross over on dry ground. We see Joshua's success depending upon and growing out of the promise that we read in Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So Joshua had the word of God on his lips, in his mind, and in his actions. Another example is found in Joshua chapter 6. The Ark of the Covenant became instrumental again when the people were up against Jericho's wall, where no one came in and no one came out. The Lord told Joshua in verse 3 through verse 5, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. The people did what the Lord instructed, and they took over the city of Jericho. The method of warfare was made absolutely no sense according to military intelligence. It required total dependence on God alone. The chapter ends with verse 27. There it says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. The meaning of the Ark of the Covenant is confirmed in 1 Samuel 4, chapter 4 and chapter 5. There in 1 Samuel 4, verses 2 through verse 6, it says, then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of the Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does this sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. In 1 Samuel 4 and 10, it says, so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. In 1 Samuel 5, verses 1 through verse 4, it says, then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now Dagon was the Philistines' god. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. The Lord brought much devastation to the Philistines, and they decided to get rid of the Ark of the Lord, moving it to the city of Gath. Gath experienced the same hardship, so they moved it to Ekron, where again, devastation afflicted the people. Finally, after 7 months, the Philistines decided they had had enough. They needed to return the Ark to the Israelites. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. Why did God house himself in the Ark? The Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred item in the Old Testament religion and was the only piece of furniture in the most holy place. For us, the Ark of the Covenant, in which the law was kept, is a type of Christ, in whose heart the law of God was written, and who kept it perfectly in letter and in spirit. In Psalms 40 and verse 8, we read, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. In Matthew 5 and verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. This was a saying of Jesus. The mercy seat was a lid that was made of pure gold, and it was made to cover the ark, and thus to cover the law within. The blood of the bullock and the goat was sprinkled upon the mercy seat by the high priest once a year on the great day of atonement. Above the mercy seat, between the two cherubim, God manifested his presence in the most holy place. The mercy seat was his throne, the throne of grace. The scripture has given the key to the meaning of the mercy seat in Hebrews 9 and verse 5 of our text, and also in Romans 3 and verse 25. The same Greek word translated mercy seat in Hebrews 9 and verse 5 is translated propitiation in Romans 3 and verse 25. We read in Hebrews 9 and verse 5, and above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. In Romans 3 and verse 25, it says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Therefore, Christ is the one whom God has set as a mercy seat. Christ as the mercy seat is the one who has covered the law or satisfied all the claims of the law as a man under the law by perfectly obeying it. In Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, there it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Second, the blood of the mercy seat tells us that Christ, by his death, satisfied the demand of the law against every sinner who will believe in God's word. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what happened? What happened to the ark throughout history? In 1 Samuel chapter 6, the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months, it says. The Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. They built a new cart. They took 2 milk cows that had never been yoked and hitched the cows to the cart. Then they took the ark of the Lord and they set it on the cart. The cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh, went along the highway and did not turn to the right nor to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and they saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. The cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and they offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh. Let me tell you, this is very unusual. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Not knowing what to do, the people sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, it goes on to explain that the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab and consecrated or set his son Eleazar to keep the ark of the Lord. The ark remained in the city for 20 years. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah, and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And when they came to Dathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah, which means outburst against Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day, it says. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And when David had heard that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God, David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. For they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And when you skip ahead now to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, we find the last mention of the Ark of the Covenant's location. In this chapter, Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. In verse 3, Joshua instructs the Levites to put the Holy Ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, had built. It is said that the Ark of the Covenant was demolished afterward, when King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 586 B.C. In closing, the journey of the Ark of the Covenant among the Israelites and the Philistines is clearly laid out in the Scriptures, while its disappearance is more uncertain. We can see that the Ark of the Covenant played an important role in biblical history, representing God's presence and helping the Israelites to overcome trials. While there is a large gap in Scripture when the Ark disappears, we can be confident that along with many other things, the Ark of the Covenant will be restored when we see Christ. In Revelation 11, in verse 19, it says, "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquakes, and great hail." If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, did you come? Or we'll stand and sing.